All right, now let's turn to this passage in Matthew, if you will, please. In Matthew 12:6. "For I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." In this place is one greater than the temple. And these are the words of Jesus, and he's speaking about himself. Next Sunday night, I'm going to bring a message on Jesus at the Feast of the Tabernacles. This wasn't the Feast of the Passover. This wasn't the Feast of Pentecost. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was in the fall of the year. I believe that Jesus went up to that temple at every single Passover. I believe that the main emphasis of his whole ministry was in that tavern, in that temple. He was there at the first Passover, at the opening of his ministry. He was there at the second Passover. He was there at the third Passover. And it was the fourth Passover that they crucified. And he was the Passover lamb. Consequently, it was Jerusalem, and it was the temple, which was the center of the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he had, of course, his Galilean ministry. He went into Samaria. He was living in Nazareth. You had the feeding of the 5,000 up on the hillsides around Capernaum. You had all those aspects of his ministry. But the great thrust of his ministry and the entire central impact of what he did and said was in the temple. And it was in Jerusalem. Now, before I go into this, somebody said to me this morning, "Dr. McIntyre, that's all so interesting. Why haven't you told us these things before?" Isn't that something? I've been here all this time, and the Lord had to give us a temple before I got to talking about it so much. And I think that's the ailing of the whole fundamentalist movement. We have a tendency to get away from the Old Testament. If you stay in the Old Testament, you have to deal with the temple. If you're going to minister in the Old Testament, you have to talk about Sinai and the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. You have to do it. You have to talk about the horns of the altar. If you're going to stay in the Old Testament, you've got to talk about David and the Psalms he wrote for the temple, and you have to talk about the temple itself, and then about Solomon and all the things that happened and all the developments, everything centered around the temple, because that's where God dwelt in the midst of his people. God dwelt in the midst of his people. Now, we understand that. But you know, Jesus said after he was rejected, he said, "No longer will men worship in Jerusalem. No longer do you have to come to this place. This place is going to be torn down. It's going to be destroyed in judgment." But he says, "Now men shall worship in spirit and in truth. And wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst." He dwelt in the midst of the temple in Jerusalem. Now he will dwell in the midst of two or three of us where we're met in his name. And that is the movement and the work of the Spirit through the New Testament church. Now when he says in this passage tonight that there's one here greater than the temple, greater than the temple, I think in that phrase he said that he's given the greatest thing he could say. Everybody thought Solomon was great, but nobody thought Solomon was as great as the temple. And Jesus himself said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm greater than Solomon." Solomon wisest man that ever lived, more wisdom, more knowledge, more wealth, more power, more glory than any earthly ruler had ever possessed. And the Queen of Sheba came and she saw it and she brought her gifts and she says, "The half has never been topped. Of all the monarchies, of all the kingdoms, of all that man had ever been able to amass and assemble to give glory to the ruling kings, nothing could possibly equal the wealth and the power and the glory of Solomon. It was the greatest the world has ever seen." And yet Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here." He was greater than Solomon. But Solomon wasn't as great as the temple. The temple exceeded Solomon. The temple was beyond the glory of Solomon. Jesus Christ also said, you know, that a greater than Jonas is here. The people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. And Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. And when he got out of that whale's belly, he was the greatest preacher that ever came to Nineveh. And they repented and they turned in repentance. And God spared the city of Nineveh. And Jesus said, a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah was in the belly of a whale, but the Son of Man is going into the heart of the earth. Jonah was in the belly of a fish, but the Son of Man is going down into the very depths of death. He's going to take the whole darkness of the tomb and open it up. And there won't be a crevice, there won't be a cranny, there won't be a corner, there won't be anything left to death that doesn't have light there. Jesus will do that. A greater than Jonah is here. My, when Jesus said, "In this place is one greater than the temple," he not only pushed Solomon aside, he not only pushed Jonah aside, but he came right straight into the very heart of what that temple represented and what that temple had in it. And I want you to give it, perhaps you've never seen it, but we're putting things together now that we never saw before in the Scriptures ourselves, and we've been able to see them now because we've been able to visualize the temple. But will you please turn to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And all of you take your Bibles. All of you take it and read this, because you have a touch here in verse 21 that falls from the lips of Jesus Christ. "Whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that..." Would you kind of tell me what he does there? What does that say? What in the world does that text say? Jesus says, "Whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that..." What in the world does it say? "Dwelleth there." Who dwelt in that temple? God did. Who is greater than the temple? God is. Who was Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh. And when Jesus said that in this place there was one greater than the temple, he was declaring his deity. He was declaring that he was God, and that above the temple, in the temple, dwelt the presence of the living God. Would you like for me to take you into some rather deep waters tonight? Do you want to follow me, will you? Would you like to follow me? Here is Jesus in his body speaking. Here is God in the temple dwelling. Jesus was in both places. He was in both places. You remember when he talked to Nathanael, he said that before thou didst come, I saw thee. And then he speaks of himself in that beautiful text of the Son of Man has come, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And he is both talking to Nathanael and telling him what he sees, and at the same time saying, he's in heaven with the Father. And you have here this glorious and magnificent reality that God was in Christ. And that the fullness of all deity was in the Son of Man. And as he walked on the earth, he ruled the universe. As he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in the throne room of glory. God is everywhere. In him we live and move and have our being. And here is deity incarnate in human flesh. And the one issue, the great issue, the one overall question that confronted everybody that looked at Jesus, was he the Son of God? Tell us. Caiaphas says, tell us. I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? Jesus says, thou sayest, I am. And hereafter, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Deity. My beloved, I don't understand the incarnation, but I declare it and believe it. I don't understand the mystery of how God can become man and the two can unite as they have in the personality and the person of Jesus Christ. But it's true. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And God has made him to be unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. In this place, there is one greater than the temple. And it's in Matthew 23. Turn back, where he is excoriating the scribes. He's blasting the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, blind guides. Now verse 16, woe unto you blind guides, which say, whosoever swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Here Jesus is in that temple, and here's the gold, and here it is. He says to you Pharisees and you liars, and you've made all your little fine distinctions and built up all these traditions which have nullified and destroyed the law of Moses. And here you are, you blind guides. And you say you can swear by the temple, that's nothing. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, that's something. Well, which is worse, the gold of the temple? He says you can't make that distinction. You can't make that distinction. Now he comes down to verse 16, verse 17, and whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he's guilty. ye fools and blind, for what there is greater? Oh, bless your soul, my friend. Just look at that. That's supposed to be the Jesus who's so meek and loving. He calls them fools, and they were the religious leaders. They had their garments and their robes and their phylacteries and all their honors as the high priest and the priest. Ye fools and blind, for whether is great, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. God sits on his throne in heaven, and God dwells in the holy of holies of the temple. This is the Almighty God. This is the creator of the universe. This is the one who made you and me and put us here. And this is the one who's provided for us a deliverer and a savior. And that one is greater than the temple, our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't understand the mystery of the incarnation, but I accept it and I believe it. As a matter of fact, I believe everything that Jesus believed. As a matter of fact, I accept everything that Jesus taught. And you've heard me preach it, and you've heard me say it. And I want the young people in my choir, and I want the young people who'll be here next Sunday night, I want the young people to know that we can accept Christ and we can accept everything He said and did for one reason. For only one reason. He opened the grave. Came out of the tomb. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, you're vain, your faith is vain. But if Christ is risen, everything's true. My beloved, all in the world that you and I deal with in this world is this unending movement across the stage. The little babe, the little child, the little boy, the young lad, the young married couple, the little baby's coming to a family, middle age. Then we cross the meridian of life, and we tart down the other side where the sun is setting. And then we come to the place where we pass on, and we find our place in the dust. All flesh is as grass, and as the goodness thereof, the flower fadeth, the grass withers, it's gone. I've been around this town long enough. I drive around the streets and I pass the houses of this town. I pass this house, I pass this town. I said, oh yes, Mr. Veach used to live there. Mr. Johnson used to live there, clerk of the session, down on the corner there. And I pass. Mrs. Collier was on that corner. And I can go around this town, I can go around Haddonfield, but where are they? They have passed on, we say. We say they have passed away. And you're going to pass away. And I'm going to pass away. And we all go down this escalator of history and we come to the end of it and we move out into this great dark unknown that the world knows nothing about and we call it eternity. And it's death. No one's ever opened the door. No one's ever cracked the darkness. No one's able to bring out of it what's over there. Nobody knows. But Jesus. And Jesus came to lay down my life. I lay it down, he says. No man taketh it from me. No man. And if I lay it down, he says, I will come back. And I go to my Father. And there are mansions on the other side. But I will come back and I'll receive you unto myself. He alone has the keys of death. He alone opened an and unleashed the bars that are about it. And he came out of that grave. I think I mentioned to you the profound effect that Madeline Murray had on me that night I debated her. And we think of her now because she's already admitted that she's going to lose on this vote of prayer and Bible. We got a chance to get it back. But when I met her in that great debate there in the University of Texas on television that night, you remember? And I used this argument of the historical Christ and the historical developments. And she was out here with her philosophies and her theories, and I was shattering her. And she came to me and they said, "How do you know that yours is true? How do you know that yours is true?" I said, "Because Jesus went into the grave and stayed there 3 days, and then he came out." And she said, that brilliant atheist that she is, and she has a brilliant mind, she said, "If I could believe that anyone went into the grave and stayed there 3 days, I would listen to him." And that's right. That's right. That's why I listened to him. That's why you listened to him. He went into that grave and he stayed there 3 days and he came out of his own power. He opened the doors of death and he left it empty. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, he walked down that road to Emmaus and he met those disciples on the road and they were talking about what had happened in Jerusalem. And then he turned and he said to them, and these are these words, "Oh, fools, I'd like to count the time that Jesus called people fools. Fools, hypocrites, blind guys. My, what a preacher he was. Oh, if I could have been in that temple the day he delivered that speech. No, I'd better not be there. I might have been among those that would have downed him." "Oh," he said to them on the road to Emmaus, "ye fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There's one message of the scriptures, Jesus Christ. There's one testimony of the Bible, Jesus Christ. And he's there because he opened the grave. He came out of the darkness and he left it empty and free and open. And he's taken all fear from you and me. But beloved, when he did it, it declared him to be the Son of God with power. He had the power to open the grave. Is anyone that's ever left us, has anyone that's ever gone from us, have they ever been able to get up and come back now? When I looked into the face of my dear mother, she left. She can't get back. You look into the face of those when they go, and maybe you'll look into my face one of these days, and the pulpit will be here, and my body will be stretched out here, and this is where I want to be buried. If I'm able to be buried, I want you to bring me in this place. You look in the face of McIntyre. He used to be here, but he's gone. But will I be able to get up and come back? No! Not until Jesus speaks the word. Oh, he's declared to be the Son of God with power. Power of his resurrection. The power of breaking out of all this chasm that has engulfed every man that ever walked on this earth. They're all dead. But Jesus, he came out. And that's why he's greater than the temple. And that's why we can take everything he said. Now, beloved, you young people, this is good apology, and if you get this, you'll never lose your faith. You'll never lose your faith. I won't have a bit of trouble. I don't have a bit of trouble with any miracle. Give me every miracle in the Bible. Just bring them out here, miracle after miracle after miracle. Let them hear. I can believe every one of them. Because they're just fractions of the big one. They're just minor little incidents compared to the big ones. And what was the greatest miracle that was ever performed on the face of this earth? What was the greatest manifestation of the supernatural that man has ever had anything to do with? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's it. Oh, beloved, there's one greater than the temple. He's the Son of God. And He died, made the atonement. He went into the temple not made with hands in the highest heavens, and He was received there. And then He came back, came out of the grave, and He had His master. But He never went back in that temple again. I want you to be here the night that I tell you when Jesus walked out of the temple and He never came back. I want you to hear that, sir. But the one that I have tonight is that He Himself says, if you swear by the temple, you swear by Him who dwells in that temple. And God dwelt in that temple. His presence was there. And so they prayed toward Jerusalem. When the children of Israel were captives in Babylon, Daniel prayed every day. He opened his window. He prayed toward Jerusalem. They prayed toward that temple. You know why the Jews tonight say that the most sacred thing to all Jews is the Wailing Wall? Just a little strip of it now, about 100 feet, with a few stones piled on it, but they dug down underneath and they found some of the stones that Solomon put there 3,000 years ago. The sacred thing to all Jews is the Wailing Wall. Why? It's all that's left of the temple. That's where God was. God dwelt there. His presence was there. He was over the mercy seat. He was in the Holy of Holies. And God dwelt with them. And that's all they've got left are a few rocks. And so they wail and they cry and they cry. They want their sins forgiven. They have no altar. They have no sacrifice. We want our sins forgiven. And they want a sacrifice, but they don't have it. And there is no altar in the temple. And they say, oh, rebuild the temple in our day. And then they pray that God will send the Messiah to the temple. I explained the temple again last night, my friend, and there's only one question. There's only one question. Was this man Jesus who taught and walked and wrought miracles and did all these things and made these speeches, was He the Messiah or not? We believe He was. The leaders of the Sanhedrin said He wasn't. And they rejected Him. And for that awful offense of rejecting Jesus, God took their temple away from them. It was destroyed. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem that killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The greater than the temple was there, and they wouldn't receive it. Now, my dear beloved, you just thank God tonight from the very depths of your soul that in the good providence and the eternal purposes of God, you've come to believe that Jesus was greater than the temple. You've come to believe that He was the God who dwelt in the temple. You've come to believe that He is indeed the fullness of the Godhead in man, the glorious doctrine of the incarnation of God in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And thank God that you've come to believe now that the message has gone throughout all the world, and Jesus went up to the top of the Mount of Olives and He gave that last commission to His disciples. All power is mine. Why, of course it is. He opened the grave. in heaven and in earth. All power is in His hands. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go tell them of Jesus. Go tell them of the resurrection. Go tell them of the temple. Go tell them that God will dwell with you. Go tell them that God Almighty will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will take care of you. Go tell them that God lives. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How precious it is. Oh, you young people here, these young men I spoke of today, there were 22 of these lads that stood up here on Children's Day. And they're in the life of this church, and I don't want to lose a one of them. There were 22 of these young lads that stood here and said, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher. My dear friends, the greatest thing that any man can do is to give his life to the preaching of the gospel. And the second greatest thing that any man can do is to give everything he can to see that it's done. We have only one task, and that's to tell men that God raised His Son from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's the difference. In this place, there is one greater than the temple. And that one is Jesus Christ. Do you love Him? Do you believe in Him? Do you trust Him? Are you coming to His house to worship Him because He said you'd meet in My name and I'd be there? Are you waiting for the day when He'll come in the clouds and carry us out? Are you going to occupy? Are you going to stand for Him? Are you going to tell others of Him? Are you going to be ashamed? Are you going to apologize for somebody who does step out and do something? Or are you going to stand under these tremendous words of Christ, you fools and slow heart to believe, ye fools, ye blind grides, ye hypocrites? Nobody uses language like that from the pulpit anymore. We're too full of love. Everybody loves. We've gotten so loving today that you got to where you love the devil and you hate the Lord's people. We're all twisted around. Absolutely all twisted around. No, beloved, Jesus said, I'm greater than Solomon. But Solomon was not as great as the temple. I'm greater than the temple. I'm greater than Jonah. He brought Nineveh to its knees, but he'd been in the whale's belly for 3 days. But oh, when I go into the heart of the earth and stay there and I come out alive, I'll bring my church to myself. And I'll rapture and bring the redeemed of every age into my fold. And I will be their shepherd, and they shall be my sheep. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall follow me, and I shall give them eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this gospel message out of the temple. And we thank Thee it's so clear, it's so straight, it's so plain. There is a greater than the temple, and this one is Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou didst choose Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon. And now in our day, in these dark days of apostasy, when the church, the visible church, has become an abomination with its harlotry, with its ungodliness, and all that it fakes in the name of Christ. Oh, bring the little remnants together. Bring them out and keep us true and faithful. And Lord, we see our country being destroyed before our very eyes. We see the system of freedom which we have being assaulted in our very schools at the expense of our taxes. We see these things absolutely being overturned. And Father, oh Father, wilt Thou use us as a witness to Thy righteousness? for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's turn, please, and sing to the glory of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The communion for those of you who didn't get it this morning. Let's go home tonight just praising the Lord, and let's reach out tomorrow and make everything count for Jesus. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessing. Father, we'll never look at that temple again without knowing that Jesus was greater than the temple. We'll never listen to him again without hearing him say that he who swears by the temple swears by him that dwelleth in the temple. And we thank thee that we saw it in the scriptures tonight. Lord, we believe the word of God. And oh, that the young people of this church will be established under this ministry and the faith. We shall have missionaries and preachers and evangelists and men who will carry the torch of the 20th century Reformation throughout the world. For Christ's sake, amen.
Thank you.